Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all of the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two on this day. Listen, the news is breaking faster than we can hardly keep up. But you guys stay tuned, and as things go, we'll let you know. Right now, just do know this, that he is no longer the presumptive nominee. President Donald Trump, who was shot at a rally this past weekend, is on his feet at the convention. He has officially received the nomination with more than enough electors to move forward. And he's also selected Senator J.D. Vance from Ohio as his vice presidential pick. It's going to be a live wire day and more to come. Hey, coming up right now on the show is somebody who's been on with us several times, but in the wake of the shooting, I thought, you know what? If I'm going to talk about counter-sniper operations, and I'm not a sniper, I may have some experience putting together, you know, overwatch for missions and mission planning and that kind of thing, but I'm pretty sure my neighbor's house cat could plan some things compared to what we saw this past weekend. But Jared Hudson is a former Navy SEAL who is also had a career in law enforcement. He owns and runs the company called the Shooting Institute, which specializes in training law enforcement, military personnel, and civilians in firearm skills and self-defense. He's got his MBA from Liberty University. He's also, by the way, runs an organization called the Covenant Rescue Group, which specializes in rescues from human trafficking. So without further ado, he has taken a break from training some folks afar and is going to give us his perspective. Jared Hudson, how you doing, brother?
What's up, brother? Doing good. How you doing?
I'm good. Listen, I know that you are wired tight right now, and you are taking a break from a training event to talk to us, so thank you for that.
Yeah, man, no worries. We're out here doing the normal thing for some East Coast SEAL teams. We do a lot of firearms training for them, so we're out here doing a week of firearms at CQB with those guys. And cut away from the range for a little bit. The guys are running it, so if you hear them in the background or if I have to cut away real quick, I apologize, but we should be good here for a few minutes.
No worries. Hey, listen, I know that you're fully aware of what happened this past weekend. You and I texted back and forth a bit. But your thought, I mean, you know, in the military, you and I are both very accustomed to things like doing an after-action review or a hot wash on something, trying to find the highs and lows of it. What are your thoughts on how things went down Saturday?
Yeah, so, I mean, well, the first thing is, and my first thought is, you know, it's easy to armchair quarterback a gunfight when you weren't there, you know. And that's what, you know, you see the media do it all the time. That's kind of what the media is known for. You know, of course, they have hindsight being 2020, and they put out what they think. And we all do that as people, you know. All of us do that. I do that. And so I just encourage people, the one, hindsight's 2020. We definitely know the guy had a gun now because, well, he shot at the president. At the same time, we don't necessarily know what the guys on the ground were experiencing at that time. I have a couple buddies that were there that are snipers in some of those positions and that work on the CAT team in different areas within Secret Service or other Joint Terror Task Forces. And I've talked with some of the guys that were there, and you know, they kind of gave me a rundown that, you know, it's similar to what we know, but it also sounds more real world. Does that make sense? So there's just kind of a... It's like Proverbs 19:2, zeal without knowledge calls you to miss the mark. There's a lot of zealous people putting out a lot of stuff, but they don't have real knowledge on how it actually went down. Does that make sense?
It does. So what are you hearing? I mean, what's their perspective? What was it like, for that matter, in terms of the time on the ground? And what are their thoughts on how the kid got up on top of that rooftop with line of sight?
Yeah, no, so, I mean, they spent, from my understanding, talking to the guy, they spent about an hour looking for the dude, and... You know, they had eyes on him for a little while. They never saw him with a gun. At least the guys that I know never saw him with a gun. They saw him with a rangefinder at one point in time, possibly. And they put that out on comms. And so they had uniformed police going around that area looking for that young man. And they never could find him. And as they were looking for him, they get eyes on, they go somewhere, and they would lose him. And he said, you know, on the sniper side, of course, where their hide sites were, he said the mirage was bad. It was 100 degrees. It was 50% humidity. He said the mirage and the scope, you couldn't see a lot that was going on. It looked like a little bird bouncing around on the roof in one area. He said, so when they finally realized in some of the positions what they were looking at, you know, as they could see moving, they said, oh, okay, that's the guy. And so You know, obviously they engaged when they did. I think the biggest thing that I don't believe is true, I don't know all the guys that were on the op, but I know some of them, and they were like, hey, man, there was never anything going out. Like, don't shoot this guy. And besides, it doesn't work that way. As a sniper from Special Operations Command, as a guy who's a law enforcement officer, both state and federal, I can go ahead and tell you that we work under compromised authority. So we have the authority to do something when we see a compromise. I mean, basically what's being put out, that's like somebody saying, I couldn't shoot the active shooter in a school because my lieutenant told me not to. That just doesn't happen, right?
Right.
And just some of the stuff we've heard and how it's put out, I'm not saying that there isn't any mild truth to any of those things, but it's not how these things generally work. It's not how the job is. You know, those snipers are in that position for a reason. When I was a sniper, nobody questioned what I did because I was going to have to be the one to articulate why I did or didn't shoot something or somebody. Does that make sense?
It does. And as a sniper, you're trained in counter sniper ops too, right? You know the key points. You recognize everything in advance. You kind of have your eyes on the key line of sight opportunities for a shooter to be sitting up in. What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, yeah, so I did quite a few counter sniper ops. You know, I actually shot one sniper who was looking for us on one deployment, killed him, and then there was another sniper, he was a Chechen guy. He almost killed me. He shot from about 1,200 meters and it hit about 12 inches above my head on a rock. I think I showed you the picture of it one time. He's sitting by that rock. I can't remember, but my buddy Chris down in the town, he actually killed that dude that shot at me. So, done a lot of counter sniper work, and it's difficult, man, because it's very difficult when you're looking at a bunch of people who all could be threats, but are all probably not threats. Does that make sense? I mean, you got to think, when was the last time this happened? Reagan? So this is not something that happens every day. Generally speaking, these folks are not really threats, and then there's just somebody who happened to be a threat. So, I would say that the counter-sniper piece, it's a difficult thing to work, but these dudes, when they picked him up, I think within less than 20 seconds, he was killed. When they actually picked, oh, this guy's shooting at us, they engaged him relatively quickly, which that's pretty hard to do as well. Pick out where somebody's shooting from and then shoot them.
What do we know about what the kid was shooting? I'm hearing he had some AR platform, but I don't know if it was scoped. I don't know if it was dialed in. What do you know?
I don't know, man. I haven't heard, nor have any of the guys I know gotten word. They said it was an AR-15. So 223 rifle. It sounded like 223 on camera.
Yeah.
All my buddies who were on the ground there said it sounded like 223, which is just a regular AR, you know, 5.56 platform. The kid was wearing a Demolition Ranch shirt, which means he follows the 2A community, you know, kind of those guys that, you know, the YouTube gunners and all that. He at least had a Demolition Ranch shirt on. So, you know, from what I could tell or from what I've been told. So if that's the case, then, you know he kind of follows this stuff. So he probably had some bit of education on it.
All right. So that being said, you're a certified firearms instructor. You've got your own skill set in the background from your time in the SEALs and everything else. This kid crawls up on a hot roof with an AR. We assume it's zeroed, and he gets off a headshot at 150 yards. What are your thoughts on the severity of that shot? I mean, what is hard shot, no shot?
I mean, you know, it's not the hardest shot in the world, but also not the easiest shot in the world either. Especially when you crank a round or two, and then dudes are returning fire at you. You know, so I think he got off 6 shots, if I remember right, and then he was finally killed. And I could be wrong, but from what I understand from guys on the ground, the snipers fired 3, maybe 4 shots at him while he was on the roof. And, they might have hit him more than once. But either way, it doesn't matter. You know, it's 150 yards, not put it this way. If one of us were on the roof, Trump might not be there right now, I guess, if that makes sense. With that being said, the kid that climbed up there and shot, I mean, it's not like it's that easy either. You know, it is a hot roof. There's a lot of stuff going on. I mean, he got pretty close. I'm just going to go ahead and say the sovereign grace of God protected Trump.
Absolutely.
You know, that evening, you know, whenever he got shot at. And here's the other thing. Nobody's talking about it. there were some other people that were shot too. There was a guy who drove on his wife and kids. We ain't even talking about that. This family just lost a husband, lost a father.
Former fire chief.
Died on a family. And so here's the thing that makes me the maddest. All these clowns in, you know, within the media, with CNN, you know, Nancy Pelosi, these politicians, they call it, something's got to be done. Somebody's got to stand up against Trump. Somebody's got to do something. This is crazy. All the rhetoric they pushed. The bigger issue to me is not something nefarious happened on the ground. Oh, they're trying to kill Trump. Well, no flipping kidding, they're trying to kill Trump. They've been trying to kill him with lawfare forever. I wouldn't be surprised if the system didn't all come together against him and try to kill him in that manner. But it's even deeper than that. It's not that they actually burned the house down. They just started the fire in the yard that ultimately burns the house down. Does that make sense? And that's kind of what I think we're seeing here. It's not that they put together some plan to go after President Trump. It's that they allow things through the DEI policies, through the people that are in positions of directors, like the Cheadle lady over Secret Service, all this stuff. It's these folks and the decisions they're making. Look at the Secret Service chicks that are out there, dude. There's so many memes making fun of these chicks. And here's the thing. It's a joke. It's DEI hires. Somebody sent me one that said, hey, this is the wage gap, and it showed the chick laying kind of hiding back and all these three dudes piled on the president. I'm sorry, y'all. This is flipping true, and nobody likes to hear it, but it's true. You need pipe hitters out there doing real work, and the problem is you ain't got pipe hitters out there doing real work. You've got DEI pushing for people who shouldn't be in a position to be in the position they are, and that's the reason things like this happen. And that's really what it boils down to.
That's good commentary. Hey, and listen, let me jump back real quick before we run out of time here. You say that the guys on the ground tell you that they had reason to believe this kid was running around and he was a problem, and so they were on the hunt for him long before the shots were fired. Is that what you're telling us?
Oh, yeah, like an hour before the shots were fired, they were looking for him.
All right. So, well, I guess that covers that. I'm also hearing, by the way, that the building that he was on top of was actually – it was outside the perimeter. We know the main perimeter. We know that. But that he was climbing on top of a building that was supposed to be secured by local law enforcement, not Secret Service. Have you heard any of that?
Yeah, it is true. I mean, I'm not going to name the agency, but I know the agency was supposed to be secured by. And they had the larger building secured. They're actually the ones that took a picture of the kid initially, you know, around the building. But I will say, you know, again, unless I sit in that spot they were in, I don't know. They might not have been able to see this kid from that spot. He's crawling across a corrugated tin roof from what it looked like and from everything we could tell. You know, he might have just been hidden that well. Then again, you could have some law enforcement agents goofing off on TikTok on their phone or whatever, not paying attention, and he, you know, slipped by him. Who knows?
Well, one report says that law enforcement saw him on the roof, climbed up, and he pointed his rifle at him, and then the officer backed off real quick in fear.
Yeah, so I'll say I heard that too from, again, I got buddies that were actually there working that actually took shots at this dude, and I'll be honest with you, from what they say, that doesn't make sense, because after the dude was dead, they had to carry a ladder over to get on the roof. Kid climbed a gutter or something. They had to carry a ladder over to get on the roof just to get to the body. So that doesn't make sense to me if some random cop was able to climb it, saw the guy with a gun, and back down. That just that doesn't make sense based on, again, what dudes on the ground who are actually running the operation say.
Good enough. Well, listen, man, you got a full day ahead of you. You got other things to do, but I appreciate you making time for us today.
Hey, thanks, Bill. Holler if you need anything. Y'all have a good one.
All right, we'll take care. That is Jared Hudson, former Navy SEAL, also the CEO of an organization called the Shooting Institute that specializes in training special operations and law enforcement in shooting skills. Former SEAL sniper himself, and that was good perspective. That was good stuff. All right, listen, we're taking a break. We'll come right back. Y'all stay tuned. We got more. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right, and we will be back.